This is the first Sunday of 2020. In general, we're all excited about the possibilities for this year. And people are asking, you know, what do you see for the year? Well, you know, vision is important. You know, whether you're talking about physical eyesight, or you're talking about plans for the future, are you talking about the things of God? I'm going to take several sessions on Sunday morning this month and talk about the value of vision. I call it the vision series. The first one, of course, is what do you see in 2020? You know, our destiny and our outcome in life is greatly determined by what we see both physically and spiritually. You know, you probably have heard this, 20/20, sight, eyesight. That means that you can, that's a, what a normal person sees. You know, 20 from the chart, 20 feet from the chart. But you also could have 20/10. That would be what a normal person sees at 20 feet. That person only sees it at 10. So it's important that we understand how to look at something. Now, I can see fine. I can see back there. I can see everything. But when it comes to reading, any of y'all know what I'm talking about? So rather than having to put glasses off and on, I just sort of, I wear them. I got these, what they call bifocals. Oh, I can see that. I can see my notes now. Don't y'all laugh at me. Some of y'all are in the same boat, and some of you have put you out there so far, your arms won't go any further. Hey, go get some help. You know, I've even got a pair that I wear with my, because looking at the computer a whole lot, I got a pair for that. But it's important that we just don't walk blindly. You know, we need to have an idea, a vision for our life and for ourselves spiritually also. You know, Proverbs 29:18, and we've heard it time and time again. If you've been in church very long, you have heard this. The old King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. New King James says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. International Standard Version says, without prophetic vision, people abandon restraint. And then the NLT, the New Living Translation, says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. You know, these verses are not just talking about our physical eyesight. They're literally speaking to the benefits of Israel as a nation, hearing from God and walking in His statutes. Now, to us, that means that it is necessary for us to have the right thoughts, plans, or vision for ourselves spiritually and naturally. Now, as I go through this, I want to apply it both sides of the road, our natural side and our spiritual side. You know, you hear me say it all the time, we live in a spiritual world and in a natural world at the same time. And you have to bring the both of them together, and then that makes an explosive force for God. Right? How many of you heard me say that before? If you've been here very long, you have. Now, as we look at this about revelation, vision. We need to realize that it applies to us personally. It applies to us as a local church. You know, we're a part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is universal. But then we have the local church, the local body. And this applies to us. It also applies to us as a nation. Having a godly future vision for the future includes revelation from the Word of God. Without input from God and His Word, we have a hard time being successful in life, in the natural and in the spiritual. Now, some of you in modern days, the kids don't know about it, but when I was going to school, we were taught about a lady. How many of you ever heard about a lady by the name of Helen Keller? Helen Keller was deaf and blind, but she became a prolific writer and speaker. And this is something she said: it's a terrible thing to see and have no vision. Let that sink in a minute. It's a terrible thing to see but have no vision. Do you realize there are people that are just going through life with no vision whatsoever? They get up, they do what they do, they go to bed, they sleep, they get up, they do what they do, they go to bed, they sleep, they get up, they do what they do. They have no vision for anything in their life. And the Bible said if you don't have any vision, you're going to perish. Right? You become nothing. You know, if we actually, let's think about it. We are a product of what we look at, both spiritually and naturally. Hey, you ever been driving and something caught your attention and you begin to look at it and all of a sudden you realize you're going off the road, you got to pull the thing back on the road? Anybody ever been there? I got 5 honest people in this room. Somebody may, if somebody in a car with you, they may look, hey, look where you're going. The problem was, that's what you were doing. Where you end up in this year or any other year is determined by your vision. What you continually look at. What you continually involved in. Now, I want you to grab a hold to the fact that where you continually look is where you'll end up and what you'll achieve. I mean, the vision you have. You know, whatever you see within you and in your life is where you'll end up. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:18 in the New Living says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Here the Apostle Paul is saying to us, we do not need to see what is visible right in front of us. We need to see with what God's word says. That you don't see. To walk by faith, we've got to fix our eyes not on the problem, but on the word of God, which is the answer. You see, too many people fix their eyes upon the problem and not on the problem solver. Let's put it this way. If you look at evil, you'll eventually get involved with it. If you keep looking there. If you keep messing around with sin, you'll eventually end up there. Now, this is an old saying, and modern kids don't know about this, but when I was growing up, if we were going to go swimming, we went down to the creek. Anybody been there? Yeah. If you mess, you may not intend to get in the water, but if you mess around long enough on that creek bank and it gets slick, you slide in. Sometimes mama would say, now you can go with the boys, but I don't want you to go swimming today. Well, so what you do, you start messing around, you know that, and you slip and fall in. So, mama, I'm sorry, I wasn't intending to go in the water, but I slipped. Yeah, uh-huh. That's the way people are. They don't intend to get involved with things that are not right. They don't intend to get there, but they hang around it. And if you continue to hang around it, you will eventually end up there. That's why we tell our kids, that's why I tell you, hang around with people of like faith. Hang around with people that believe like you do. Hang around with people that see the way you see. You know, have you ever found a vehicle on a car lot? You really liked it. Oh, man. Favorite color. You took it for a ride. It was fantastic. But then you looked at the sticker price and, I can't afford this. So you walk away. But you come back. You look at it again. You sit at home and you think about that car. Oh, man, it would be, man, that'd be a good vehicle to take a vacation in. Oh, man. That'd be really nice. After looking and thinking about that and seeing yourself in that car, you find a way to get it. When I was a senior in high school, my middle in December 1957, my dad got me a 53 Plymouth. Well, now I drove that 53 Plymouth for a while, you know, in school. But then I saw this 62 Pontiac Tempest. And I really wanted it. And I talked with Dad. I was in college and everything. And you know what? I figured out a way to get that. In the end, it wasn't a good thing to do. Now, what's my point? There are some things that you begin to see and look at. But if you take a look at it in the long run, not just a short while, it's not expedient that you do that. So as you have vision for the year and for your life through the years, just don't zero in on the immediate future. See what the long run will be. The immediate may really look good and it may be what you would really like, but what's going to happen down the road? See, our vision has to be down there. When I was, Craig and I, back when he was, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, we rode, even until, I don't know, even into high school, we rode enduro motorcycles. Now, enduro motorcycles, that's off-road motorcycles. You ride up hills and through creeks and through the woods, and sometimes the trees are so close together, you have to do your handlebars like that to get through. And you know, I was doing pretty good, but I couldn't never seem to get to be up front and trophy. And finally, one of my friends said, Hagin, you are just looking what's right in front of you. You've got to look way down the trail and take in everything that's there. When I started doing that, I trophied. Now, you know, I had an old street stock race car back in 79 and 80, and Cameron, my grandson, you know, drives sprint cars, and he's going to be racing in the Chili Bowl here in a couple of weeks in a midget. But I want to tell you what, when you're in that race car and that dream flag drops as you come out of that corner, your vision's got to be all the way to the next corner. It can't just be what's in front of you. You got to see what's happening way down the road. That in driving your car, many times I see people that only look at what's in front of them instead of looking way down the road. When I'm driving, I'm looking at way down the road, and I'm taking in everything in my peripheral vision from this area. That's what we got to do with our vision when we're preparing ourselves for the future. Anybody get anything out of this? John Scully said, the future belongs to those who see possibilities before they become obvious. In driving that race car, I made the mistake, my first race, of just looking at what's in front of me, and I wound up in a wreck. And one of my buddies said, hey, you gotta do this. So the next time I drove, I come out of that corner, I look way down, I saw the possibility of two cars coming together. I started making preparation to miss the accident, and it hadn't even happened. That's what good vision does in planning your life. You begin to see the possibilities before they become obvious. Now, I want to go to a story that we all know from Numbers 13. It's the 12 spies of Israel. How many of you know this story about Moses sent the 12 spies? Well, I got a few people. I'm going to ask that question again and see how many I have. How many of you know about the 12 spies going in to spy out the land? Oh, that's what I thought. You just didn't want to raise your hand, that's all. You know, isn't that interesting? Some people, they just won't raise their hand. You know. And like the old preacher one time, he asked a question and everybody raised their hand. This small congregation. Everybody raised their hand but one man on the front row. And the preacher said, well, hey, aren't you in favor of that? He said, yes, I'm in favor of it, but I don't want to see anything be 100%. Another preacher was asking how many people want to go to heaven. Everybody raised their hand, but there's one guy. And he said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, yeah, but I thought you was getting up a load to go right now. Now that I got everybody's attention, let's talk about the spies. Numbers 13:26. To Moses, Aaron, the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore. It is indeed a bountiful country, land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We saw the giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let us go up at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. And that's not so. That's their vision. We saw the giants. They were descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought about us too. Now see, I want you to notice, they said that's what they thought. How do they know what they thought? It was their own vision that caused them. Here they sent 40. They sent 12 spies. They looked around for 40 days. They came back. 10 of them said, we can't take the land. They decided that they couldn't take the land because of what they saw. Their vision. They looked at the giants instead of the good land. They looked at the problems instead of what God's promise was. God said, I promise you the land. They looked at the obstacle instead of the opportunity. Caleb and Joshua, they looked at the promises of God. They saw all that. They saw all that. But they said, hey, we can still do it because this is what God says. See, their vision was not on what the problem was, but their vision was on what the Word of God said. God said, I'm going to give you the land. Go take it. In Joshua 1:8, we see the secret that God gave Joshua for conquering. Study this book of instruction. Continually meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. See, a meditating on the Word of God allows us to see the possibilities of God's promises coming true in our lives. When we take time to meditate upon the scripture, you'll begin to see the answer for the problem. See, Joshua and Caleb saw the possibilities of living the good life in the promised land because that's what God said. And they're the only two of the old generation that got to go there. Why? Because their vision was on what God said and not on what they were looking at. You know, you have to see yourself in your future doing what you feel that God created you to do. See, what do you see? What you keep looking at will eventually be what you end up being. Endeavor to see possibilities and not problems. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be limited by our vision. But we need to not be limited by our vision. What do I mean by that? Well, John Mason in his book, You're Born an Original and Don't Die a Copy, said this. You know, have you ever heard the saying, he said, we're told never cross a bridge until you get to it. Anybody ever heard that? But you know what? This world is owned by men and women who cross bridges in their imagination far ahead of everybody else. You have to see yourself doing it before you can do it. See, these people heard of the new land, but they couldn't see the possibilities of living in freedom there. Joshua and Caleb could. Now go way back to the 1600s. When a group of people got on a ship and came across to America, they heard of a new land. They saw the possibilities of freedom way ahead of time. That motivated them to come to America and land there in 1620. Anybody remember that from history lesson? People have built factories and railroads and bridges and corporations and highways and cities because they saw it in their with their vision before it was ever accomplished. You are sitting in a building that I saw in my vision before there was ever anything here. I would bring my staff out here and I would stand right back here because we've added to the platform. This is where the pulpit used to be, right here. And I would stand on the bare ground. There wasn't nothing but this bare ground. And I'd say, this is the pulpit, guys. This is my staff. The audience is here. The balcony's up there. There wasn't nothing here. But what was I doing? I was seeing it with my vision. How many of you have played, sit in a locker room? You played football, basketball, something another game. How many of you have ever sat there and heard a coach say to you, see yourself scoring the touchdown. See yourself hitting the home run. How many have ever heard that? Why? He wanted you to get a vision of you doing it. Because if you could see yourself doing it, you can go out and accomplish it. Hello? You know, we need to have vision. Why? Vision produces right thoughts and right ideas. Vision produces faith to go and do what you see. Vision produces the tenacity and the perseverance to stay with it until the task is finished. The reason some people never built anything is because they never saw it. They never saw themselves doing it. I've seen people that get jealous because somebody else accomplishes something. Instead of getting jealous, see yourself doing something. Instead of griping about what you don't have, but begin to visualize what you can have and what you can accomplish with you and God. I told Craig and Denise, they're both sitting there, I would pray with them and put them to bed at night, and I'd tell them, I said, with you and God, you can do and become anything you want to become. See, that's where vision comes from. You know, you have to see it before you can accomplish it. This is an anonymous saying. I don't know who said it. But dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by the absence of things, but the absence of vision. You got to see yourself before you can do it. See yourself getting more sales. See yourself building something. See yourself getting the vehicle you want. See yourself getting the promises of God. See yourself winning. See yourself overcoming. See yourself doing great things for God. I used to hear my dad say it all the time, and I tell people this too. They're believing for their healing. See yourself healed, he would tell them. See yourself. See yourself doing it. See yourself accomplishing it. I want to end this with a story. Near the end of World War II, a young soldier by the name of Lou Miller was caught in a burst of machine gun fire. 5 bullets smashed into his body, 2 in his arm, 1 in his shoulder, and 2 in his head. He was taken to a military hospital more dead than alive. Weeks and months passed. He went from 192 pounds to 90 pounds. He was so weak he couldn't stand. He was struggling, but the recovery was slow and painful. Doctors were doing their best. He prayed, but it seemed like it didn't make any difference. Sometimes, to make the endless hours pass more quickly, he would recall happy scenes from the past. Athletic accomplishments, scholastic prize and honors he had won. He would hear the applause of the crowd. He would see the pride and happiness in his parents' face. He tried to visualize these events vividly as possible, because when he did, he would forget momentarily the hospital bed and the pain. As he began to look at this, and he became aware of a common denominator, each time that he had gained a triumph, he had had a mental picture of the success before it actually happened. He gradually began to see connection between the before and the after. And then he began to look at the promises in the New Testament. And he remembered Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. He began to believe along with the power of God. He began to see that to be liberated, he not only had to have the power of God, but he had to have his own power. It was his responsibility to create the image of recovery by faith. With a surge of determination, he began to do so. He saw himself returning home. He saw himself driving a car, holding down a job, resuming an everyday life. He saw himself getting married, raising a family, taking part in civic affairs, pursuing a career. Not only did he visualize these things, but over and over again, with all the possibility intensity, he began to thank God in advance for turning these visions into reality. And soon all of these concepts came together. He felt a remarkable upsurge of hope and well-being. To the doctor's amazement, he began to mend rapidly. Lou ended up happily married, 2 children, living a normal life, happy, productive. The things that he saw so vividly in that army hospital years before. He was convinced he had found one of the most powerful healing combinations in the world. Seeing himself well and his unshakable faith in God's word, he said, brought him back from the edge of the grave to the land of the living. If you want to know where that story came from, it came from Norman Vincent Peale's book, Positive Thinking, Positive Imagining. Today, what's all that got to do with us? Well, what it has to do with us is that we are all facing different things in our lives. So begin to see yourself with what you need accomplished. As I said a while ago, see yourself healed. See yourself delivered from addictions and habits. See yourself living in abundance. See yourself a wise manager of finance. See yourself doing things that bring promotion to your life. See yourself walking in the promises of God, not in the promises of man. See yourself protected by the power of God. See yourself surrounded with the favor of God. Then find scripture that assures you that God will give these things to you. Believe them. What? Believe the scripture. Speak that scripture. Thank God for that scripture coming to pass in your life. when you do, your vision for your future will become 2020 in 2020. Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few moments tonight, today, to get them to begin to think they can accomplish. Begin to think in line with your word concerning whatever it is they need in life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name.